Father, thank you. Thank you for today, Lord. And we lift up any need, Lord, today in this place. Lord, that your presence, your anointing, your power, Lord, your life may flow today as we just open ourselves up to you. Lord, that all the need may be met. Lord, that you may touch our hearts and our souls so that we may respond to your truth and may receive it and may appropriate everything that goes along with that. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know you love us, you care about us, and you want, Lord, to bring us into freedom and into victory. And so, as we, Lord, come together today, Lord, we just open our eyes and open our ears to be able to connect with your word and to be able to hear, Lord, and Lord, to receive in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue on the things that I started last week concerning the raptures and the coming time that we are going to see happening. So I'm going to be looking at some, to start with. There are so many different theories, interpretations about what's going to happen. And that's not scriptural. Because the word is very clear that when God spoke, when you speak, you just mean what you mean, not what people interpret you. You know, it happens all the time. You know, I say something and people hear something else. And they come to me and say, you said that. I looked at them. When did I say that? Because we hear and we see the things that we are programmed to hear and to see. When it comes to interpreting the scripture, that becomes even more complicated because sometimes things are not so evident. And, you know, the thing is, the Holy Scripture were dictated or, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so really to be able to get at the real meaning, we need to connect with the source. That means with the Holy Spirit. And there are not many interpretations. There is one interpretation. Okay? And that interpretation is what God intended. And that's what we had to seek to receive. And the Bible itself says that. Okay? It gives us the basis for us to know what to seek, what we should aim for. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, says, you know, so we have the prophetic word confirmed. And when it talks about the prophetic word here, it's really referring to the whole Bible. Okay? But specifically, it's even more complicated when it talks about prophecy of things to come. We are going to see in a minute. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. He's talking about the prophetic word in general. He's talking about the Bible in general. Okay? And says, you know, you better heed to it. Until, see, that means that sometimes we may not completely understand it. But we have to try to align ourselves with whatever we understand. At least that is going to produce, is going to be produce good results. Because whatever we understand and exercise our faith to fulfill it is going to be better than if we go our own ideas. And that's what we have to be careful about. And it says, until the day is dawn, when the day dawns, when it talks about light, when talk about all these kind of things, always refers to the be able to see what is there. So he needs until the day, until you can actually see what he's really saying. Okay? And, you know, and that's going to happen when the morning star rises in our heart. You see, it's the thing that the light has to be happening within ourselves. See, in our heart that we have to be able to see, to be able to line ourselves up with the Word. Knowing this first, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So that cuts off all the different ways that we want to interpret things. We cannot choose. That's the bottom line. What we need to do is to seek the understanding. Seek the truth. And it's not always easy, because today there is each different groups has different ideas. Okay? So we really have to be seeking God. Okay? And not taking scriptures that we are comfortable with and ignoring other scriptures that we are not comfortable with. See, that is one of the major problems that we can see often taking place. Some scriptures are just not there, and people just take them off from the Bible. Maybe even physically sometimes. You know, that's what the Jews did about Isaiah 53, you know. It's too bad. So that's the thing. So it's not private interpretation. Okay, so we had to seek the truth. And says, explain why. For prophecy never came by the will of man, so it's not what we want, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They speak, you know, according to the Holy Spirit anointing that made them speak. The thing is, you know, to understand prophecy, okay, we need to understand the ministry of the prophet. And to really be able to be qualified to interpret properly the scripture, one has to be somebody that is connected with the Holy Spirit like a prophet. Okay, that implies something. That when we listen to somebody, you know, that gives the interpretation, we have to see where they are spiritually. Are they really connected with the Holy Spirit? Are they really hearing from the Holy Spirit? Because He's the one that brings revelation to us. And we have to get to that point. You know, things are not that easy to do. See, there are at least 20 different principles of interpretation that they developed in theology. Around that number. Just try to do that, you're never going to get anywhere. Because there is no way. See, this is not something that you can do mechanically. It's not just you can follow rule to understand the Bible. Because that was not the way it was dictated. That's not the way it was written. Now, you can use those as some criteria to check you out and see if that works. But that's not the way to find the truth. To find the truth is what Jesus says, seek and you shall find. Knock and you shall receive. That's the way that we are going to find the truth. And so, you know, until the day that the dawn is, you know, the dawn is up and the light is in our heart to be able to receive, quite likely we have to go by what somebody else says. Okay? All right. So we cannot, the thing I want to emphasize here, that we cannot mechanically apply these rules, because they're going to get, according to that, different theories. And that's the problem, what people have been doing. One of the things that is important to understand, and we can see especially when it's prophecy about the future, is predicting something in the future. Number one, how revelation is received by the Holy Spirit. Logically, revelation is received by pieces, by fragments. and often are disconnected, not logically connected, chronologically connected. So you can get, you know, somebody that there's a prophecy about something that's going to happen 500 years from now, and, you know, and then talk about something that's going to happen soon. So you put them together, you're out of order. So that's not a way to think about prophecy. It's not your logical analysis that is going to give it to you. This is something that we have to understand, because otherwise we are going to try to go up the wrong tree. Okay? I mean, we're just trying to do that the wrong way. Are you following me? Okay, this is important. Now I can just give you some general things that General Dunn, you know, the context is very important. Okay? This is something that we have to consider, but has to be in any, many different way that you have to be considered. The symbolism is very important too. Okay, generally symbols parallel something else that the symbols represent. Okay, but there's a lot of latitude in that, and sometimes symbols are not used completely 100% the same way all the time. So you cannot go just by going to go to the dictionary or interpret, you know, dreams or interpret, you know, prophecies. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay. Another thing, you know, is pattern. Pattern sometimes is more revealing than many of the other things, because God has a certain way of doing things. So that's important. The way God works, understanding the way God works, can help us to see how what is said at that particular place fits in the way God is. Okay? So those are things you can see how it happened in the past. Okay? I have prophecies that were given about things that already took place, okay, happened in the past. That helps you to see how to interpret things. But sometimes it's not even easy for that, because sometimes a prophecy may refer more to more than one event. There are similar events, but the same prophecy take place. Like, for example, when Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed. Well, there was more than one temple destroyed, and there was more than one. So, you know, you cannot go by that only. Okay. Also, you have to see the audience that is talked to, the costumes, the characteristics of the time and everything else, because what the prophet spoke to certain people with a certain way of doing things, with a certain way of life. And for that reason, you know, he related to them at that particular time, and we are maybe 2,000 years after, and sometimes more than that. So, to even understand their language, you know, even if we can do the translation, it's not just a simple translation. Having said that, what I'm saying is the important thing is to connect with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit, the one that dictated the Bible, and it's the Holy Spirit that is going to illuminate us to understand it. There are general trends that we saw. Okay, we already talked about some things about the end times, the way, you know, it is prophesied about, and we talked about the rapture. You know, when the bridegroom is coming to fetch away or take away the bride. I want to continue on that, but we have to understand to other part of the Bible to be able to connect with the truth about the end times. You cannot do it in isolation. You cannot just, if you don't understand the whole context of the Bible, you're not going to be able to interpret anything. Okay, so one of the things that we had to understand that at this time, in the end time, when the end time started, or even before, but just about that time, something drastically changed. The new covenant was going to take place and was starting to be established. And that changed anything, everything concerning the way God dealt with us. That has to be one of the elements that we consider all the time to interpret what it says about things like that is going to happen after that. Because that covenant is not going to be broken. No one can break that covenant, because the only person that can break the covenant is the person that made the covenant. And that person is Jesus, not you. Now, if you are in that covenant or not, depends on you. Okay? But the only one that can change anything about that is Jesus himself. And he's not going to change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he came to show us that. And he came to show us how the things could be interpreted even in the Old Testament when that revelation wasn't there. He operated in the same way. Okay. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, you know, talks about the announcement of this new covenant that was taking place. And suddenly there was with angels a multitude of heavenly host praising and God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So this is the attitude, this is the position that he took at that time. Okay, and this is really God's intention for us, for mankind. God doesn't want to hurt anybody. He wants not only not to hurt anybody, he wants everybody to connect with him, and he wants everybody to receive and give a chance to them to do that. All his plans, see, we read the scripture, you know, that was saying, you know, my plans and my thoughts for you are good plans and of peace and of a future and so on. That was said in the Old Testament, okay? And not many people understood that at that time. But, you know, it's even more clearly established in the New Testament. Continuing here, for example, in John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in my name, okay, in his name. So the idea is this, okay, that anybody, no difference between, you know, any race, any culture, anything, God wanted everybody to connect with him, right? Everybody included, as much as possible. Even if they were messed up, he wanted to bring about the things so that they could turn around. We had to understand that this was the major motivation of God. He is a loving God. Okay? And we had to understand the end time in that light. That doesn't mean that he's going to forgive everybody. That doesn't mean, like some people say, you know, believe that even the devil is going to convert. See, those are all the stupid ideas that go around because people extrapolate the truth. And it's not true at all. We have to understand the way God works. And he does not change. So he always expects some things to take place to be able to bless us. It was on the Old Testament the same as the New Testament. It's just that we understand it better. Or we should. Because Jesus came to explain the way it works. We had to receive him. Okay, let me read this again because there are two scriptures here. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the idea is really to be able to receive You know, they were had to receive him first, so they had to make a decision of the heart that they wanted to connect with him. Okay, number one. Number two, they had to believe in his name. That means they believe what his purpose, what his function was, what he did, what Jesus did. That means he died on the cross for them. So do things, those two things. Okay, and the result of that, they were born of God, and they became children of God. Okay, that means, you know, born again is you are born with a new life inside you and a new heart. And a new spirit comes to you. Okay, you essentially become a children of God. You know, you are a new species that wasn't there before, because the essence of your life is different. Now, this is what was said before in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. And I will sprinkle clean water on you. See, it doesn't happen automatically. The clean water has to be sprinkled on top of you. And the water, we know, the water of the word. So you have to hear the word. You have to, the word comes to you so that you are actually hearing something to make change your way of thinking. Okay? To change the things that need to be changed, your heart, your attitude, your judgment. You know, actually, this is very interesting, these words, because it goes together with the things I've been teaching for a long time as we proceed here. Okay? So, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Idols is the things we love, the thing we value. Okay? So he will remove those things from us. Okay? Idols are false gods that we believe, you know, and not necessarily things that, you know, like you go in religion, but even, you know, things in the world that we want, that we desire, that we value. Okay? Now, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of you, or flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. So here it is. It's talking about how he's going to do the change in the heart. Okay. The change in the heart takes place by the sprinkling of the water. Okay, but involves a decision we had to make, according to the scripture we saw before. Okay, and now the following scripture, okay, we're going to get the new values within ourselves. What the way I discussed or talked about before, shown the judgment in our heart need to be changed. Okay, see what it says in verse 27. And I will put a new spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgment to do. See, he's using exactly the same word that I've been using concerning our heart. See, our heart has values and judgment for things, for decisions we have to make. And so our judgment has to change in our heart. And for our judgment to change in our heart, we have to be exposed to new ideas, new thoughts, new way of looking at things, so that we can make a decision. Because it's a decision that we have to do all the time. We choose this judgment, this value, instead of this other one that we had before. Are you following me? You see that the word judgment that I've been using so much, and a lot of people have been having problems with connecting, because it has a bad connotation generally, is not a bad connotation. This is the criteria that we use to judge, to value things. Really, if you want, reflect our values. Okay. When we value God more than other things, that means we love God more than other things. Even if the word generally is not love, because love actually is more confusing from my point of view than, say, to value. Okay. Because it's used for so many different things and has different connotations. So you will get a new heart, okay? Walk in my statutes. So that means the statutes is the established, the rules, the things that God has established, okay? And you get a new spirit. Because, And that spirit is lined up with God's judgment, with God's statutes. So your judgment are the same as God's judgment. Okay? So our new life is lined up with God. If, you know, this is the objective of the new covenant, that we can actually understand at the spiritual level and connect with God's way of looking at things, having the mind of Christ, having the same values and judgment that God has, so that we can walk in His way, not because we have to check all the different commandments that are in the Bible, you know, the 360 or more, you know, little things that we had to choose. No, it becomes the natural thing for us to do because we are lined up with Him. This is His desire. This is His desire for everybody. So that we all can be in communion with Him, have a relationship with Him. Now this is the background in which we had to interpret the time, the end time events. God is not mean or hard with anybody. And everything that He has done is in the best possible way to resolve the situation of a hardened and wicked heart in people. He's not revengeful. He's trying to get there. He's trying us to connect with Him. Now, you take some scripture in isolation, you come to a different conclusion. But this is the general message in the Bible. It's repeated in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, you know what happened when you are born again? When you are born again, it's not quite enough because this is the beginning of the past. You start to see things. Amidst one change. Okay, decide to follow Him. But there are many other judgments and values that need to be fixed. See, and this is, you know, that's why, you know, often 1 Corinthians 5:17 is interpreted the wrong way. You know, you say, well, you know, you're born again, you're just fine. You take one scripture out of context without looking at all the other scriptures as the opposite. Okay? You say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, see, is in Christ doesn't mean you're born again. There is much more to be in Christ than be born again. Okay? It says, He's a new creation. Okay? Yes, you are a new creation. You know, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I mean, I don't know what experience was yours, but my experience, even when I was born again, I had to make lots of changes and adjustment for myself because I didn't understand very much. And took me many years. And I'm still learning. And I'm still changing some judgments as I grow up in Him. And unless we do that, we get stuck. Okay. So, now all things are of God. Yes, in the areas that you have been regenerated. Okay. Who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation so you can help other people to come to go through the same process. Now you go and take Ephesians chapter 4 verse 21, says, you know, if indeed you have been heard Him, okay, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, so, you know, if you have been fed, you know, heard the word, Jesus' word, and have been taught by what you heard Him, okay? Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conduct. What do you mean? You're not perfect? No, you're not perfect. You know, still, we have to put off the concerning the former conduct, the old man which grew corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So evidently, something is left there. It's the old man. It's the part, you know, are the judgment in you that are not changed because you don't even know it, some of them. It's not that some of these things are conscious, but when they come to consciousness, then the battle starts. Because at the moment, you have to decide which side are you in. And you can resist some of the things if they are really important for you. Okay, and that's why they grow, you know, says here, according the corrupt grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man is controlled by deceitful lusts. Okay, desires of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Okay. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is talking to believers. It's not talking to heathens. Okay. So we have to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. And how you do that? Well, the way I said, sprinkle with water. Okay. And that's the way you do it. Okay. You put on the new man. So this is a decision you made. You see, it's not something that God does. It's something that you had to do. You put off the old stuff and you put on. Didn't say God is going to clean you up. Yeah, some places says that, but it's not what it means is he's going to give you the word so that you can make those decisions. See, what God looks at is our heart, and our heart is the place that needs to be changed. So we need to make those decisions to line up our thinking and our values with God's values. Okay? Now we say, what you're talking about, this stuff? We're talking about end time prophecy. Well, if you don't understand this, you cannot understand end time prophecy. Simple as that. Because God doesn't change from one thing to another. He's always the same. Okay? So, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Exactly. See, the transformation, the new man, is not our work. We make that decision in trust, responding to the word, and the result, God's power creates in us and gives us the power that comes from that decision. Okay? So, in his work, we are created according to the decisions we make. Okay, according to God, so was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, you separate yourself from the way of thinking of the world, and you become holy, you know, separated, that means, and righteous. Okay. Things is the putting on and putting off has to take place, and God helps us in putting on and putting off in many different ways. You know, one of them is, you know, the goodness of God brings us to repentance. You see, putting on and putting off is nothing else than repentance. All right? Now, God looks at us, and he's a loving God. In Matthew 7, 9, talks about how God deals with his children. If we are his children, not perfect children, he knows it pretty well. There is only one is perfect, is Jesus. There is old man in all of us that is there lingering and once in a while lift up his head. And we have to understand that and respond to that. Okay? As Matthew 7, 9 says, oh, what a man is there among you who, if his son asks for a bread, will give you a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give you a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay. So that is true when Jesus said it, was true before, and is true now, and it's going to do true in the future. There is a law in operation that we all know, the law of sowing and reaping, that is applied to our life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says it very clearly, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That doesn't mean, you see, one takes the scriptures and we see that then we have to do things to get saved. No. This is not salvation by works. That when you are saved, there is evidence. There is actually the implementation of your salvation. It's the manifestation of your salvation. Okay? When you are saved, that means you don't do those things anymore because they are not part of you. Your value have changed. For he who sows in the flesh will also in the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows in the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So you see, our action, even if physical, have a spiritual impact and an eternal impact. So we have to understand, okay, that there is an interchange, if you want, or a communication between the spiritual world, us, and our physical world, and the spiritual world again. What we do affect what's going to be in the future for us. What, you know, the way we respond and we change ourselves within ourselves is going to change the physical condition we're in. This is the way it works. That's the way God planned, because he's fair and just. And he has to stick with that. So there says, you know, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So this is an important point that I wanted to make. We shall reap if we shall not lose heart. That means, you know, if we give up, we lose it. Doesn't matter what we did in the past, it's what we do now that counts. And we can see this is not the only place that talks about that, but I think that is important to understand that when we expect Jesus coming to us, he's going to, and you know what's happening, and take us up. We had to prepare for it. We had to be being transformed to at least to a certain degree so that he count us able to do that. Okay, we had to, as he's coming, he's going to reward us. That's what he's doing. He's rewarding us for what we have done. This is important. God is there not to punish, but to reward. But if you have done nothing to get it, then you're going to get nothing. You know, the parable, for example, of the talents. So that's the thing that is going to be manifested all the time in the Bible, not just for that time, but that time is going to be a special time, you know, more than ever before. The change is going to be significant, and the blessings are going to be significant. And this is why, you know, if we are not ready when the bridegroom come, according to Matthew 25:10, that actually Matthew 25 comes just after Matthew 24, that was talking about all the different bad things that are going to be coming. Now, you know, when the bridegroom came, those who were ready, the virgin that were ready, went within and to the wedding, and the door was shut. And the other one, you know, the other one came and said, you know, Lord, Lord, open to us. And they were virgin. That means they were committed to a degree, or they were separated from the world. That wasn't enough. Because said, surely I don't know you. And the only difference between these two groups there was the fact that one had the oil for the lamp, and the other one didn't have the oil. So the Holy Spirit, what we said just before at the beginning of this service, okay, is what enables us to connect with the truth in the Word. And if you don't have that, you cannot connect with the truth, and you cannot make it. That's why it's so important to have, as much as possible, communion with the Holy Spirit, so that we are able to hear, so that the dawn comes to us, because we are illuminated. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates us, giving us understanding, opening our eyes so that we see. Are you still with me? Okay, so this is so important. So in the conclusion of that with the parable of the 10 virgins, so watch therefore, and you, for you know no, neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We shouldn't fall asleep, we should be awake, we should be aware of what's going on, and we should be open to the Holy Spirit to direct us and show us. Because otherwise, things are happening, we make the wrong decision, we don't prepare ourselves, we get caught up into the things that are taking place. So, when tribulation comes, now we get there. And we apply all everything that I said up to now. There is an immediate conclusion that we can come to. Okay? The tribulation cannot come on the children that prepare themselves. It goes completely contrary to any of the things that we have been talking about before, everything that the Bible says everywhere else. Okay. So, why that happens? Well, there is evil, and that needs to be, and people that should know better are caught up in evil, because their values are not God's values. So he has to put an incentive for them to change. Because he wants everybody to be changed. His intention is not just to blast the bad one. His intention is to get as many into the kingdom as he can, no matter how you get there. Are you following me? So, for us, he's been warning over and over and again, watch and pray, get ready, get here, you know, just don't wait at the last minute because you don't know if you're going to make it. So for us, he has given us an announcement or a warning before to be able to line up before the thing happens. If we don't listen, we're never going to listen. But maybe sometime when things get bad, people realize that, you know, this is a mess. This is wrong. I'm not going to go along. And they make some decision. See, there are some scriptures that clearly shows that. Proverbs 11:8, this is Old Testament, okay, says, the righteous is delivered from trouble. That's pretty good, wouldn't you say? It doesn't say the righteous is going to get in trouble. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. So the idea is that we better line up with God. In Romans chapter 2, says something that is really reinforcing this. This is the New Testament. The Old Testament, New Testament doesn't make any difference. God doesn't change. Says, chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You know, you have to be able to see it. But the thing is, when you do that, then up. But in accordance to your hardness of your heart and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Okay. So, the idea is, you see, the people that don't listen, they are doing it them to themselves. It's not God they want to do. God wants them to warn before this. Get out of there! Your house is burning! Amen? Well, you can do more than that. But at the same time, the thing is getting so bad that he has to do something. The same way as it was at the time of Noah. They repeat the same pattern. You know, there is a limit for the bad to overcome. He has to fix it because otherwise destroys everything. But he does it in such a way that he gives you a second chance. He gives to the people that don't make it for the rapture a second chance during tribulation to come to their senses and change. That is God's goodness, because he could say, it's too late, you are out, the door is closed, and you stay there. He doesn't say that. He always keeps the door open. He always reaches out to us. Okay. The thing is, then it's more difficult to do anything. You have to go through the things that are going through there. And even then, I believe that if you are smart enough and you start to listen, probably he's going to guide you so that you are going to make it all right. Some of them are going to pay for it badly to be able to stay in, but not everybody. People are treasuring for themselves the wrath in the day of wrath. Okay, that's the thing. That's what they are doing, you know, because they are hardened in their heart. They don't want to change their ways. Now, if you're seeking God, you are open, and God is going to show you the things to do. Simple as that. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 3 and 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. See, you had to put off the old man. That's what the old man is. Okay. Now, doesn't take very much to understand that. Okay. You say, well, I did those things later, before. Doesn't make any difference. It's what happens now that counts. See, God forgives and forgets. He doesn't look at the past. He looks at your heart now. That's the only reality that counts. So you can get people that have been really messed up and have God's support and help, and some people that have been religious all their life, they get nowhere because they're just being religious, following rules instead of really following and connecting with the Holy Spirit. So, let me continue here. Therefore, put to death your members, and talk about that, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming unto the sons of disobedience. See, that's what tribulation is all about. The sons of disobedience are going to experience that, not the children. You know, in which you yourself, and this is saying what I was saying just a second ago, in which you yourself, the son of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you live in them. So you see, say everybody is going through that, but that's past. And that's letting God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, you are the sons of light, and the son of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So the idea is we can see these things. It's not that we are blind. It's not that we are dark. We can see exactly what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk, they are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day, I mean able to see, put on the breastplate of faith and love as the helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. I want to read that again. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not talking about when you get saved. He's talking about what happens. This is, you know, Thessalonians start talking specifically about the last day, about the coming of the Lord and the rapture. So we have been appointed not to wrath, but to salvation. Deliverance. Probably would be a better word to translate that, because it's talking about being delivered from what the things that are coming. Okay. So, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, not just to go to heaven, but even down here at the moment. Who died for us, and wherever we wake up and sleep, we should live together with him. See, whatever we wake up, we are awake or asleep. So it doesn't matter if you are dead already or if you're still on earth. It says it here. Okay? We will be together. We live together with him. That makes it very clear. I mean, you can't be any clearer than that. All right? There is another verse I like to... let me finish the last one here. The verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. So you see, this is the things that we can comfort ourselves. You know, we can help each other. It says, look, you know, it can maybe getting bad and we are not quite there, but we are out of it. When is the time? Okay, so we can actually comfort each other on that basis. We see the thing coming and we can comfort each other. Okay? Instead of getting all tense and worked up and, you know, panic. We don't need to panic if we are children, if we are close, if we are obedient to the degree that we understand. Okay? Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says something that, you know, I like to read that because it helps us. You know, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this is the blessed hope that we have as believers. Are you hearing what I'm saying there? Okay, this is really the thing we look forward to. Hallelujah. You know, what boils down to, we have a choice. And we can be part and a part in what is going to take place. Okay? We humble ourselves before God. We make sure that we hold on to the truth. We make sure that we are obedient to the Lord. Okay? And that's the only thing we had to do. We had to get closer to God. We had to make sure that we are connected with the Holy Spirit. We had to make sure, you know, that we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us at the right time. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. At the beginning, you know, new believers, they have a roller coaster experience. You know, we're up and down and everything else, because all these things are not resolved within themselves. There are lots of decisions that they had to make. Well, you know, that's, now is the time to address those things, to focus on them instead of being focused on other stuff. Okay? This is the way, if we value the deliverance that is coming, if this is our blessed hope, we are going to be focused completely in cleaning ourselves up, in making those decisions, in taking those steps. Okay? And if we do that, the enemy is going to try to distract us. The enemy is going to try to tempt us. But the word is very clear about that. We are not going to be tempted more than we can handle. Okay? And so we can relax, rest in the Lord, put our trust in him, and have that blessed hope that he's going to pick us up. Dead or alive, he's going to pick us up. Okay? So that to me is what's called the blessed hope for us, and this is something we look forward to instead of, this is a difficult time to live in. No, this is exciting time for me to live in, because this is what believers have been waiting for 2,000 years. And the one that had some understanding about that, even 2,000 years before, they were waiting for this. Okay? Praise the Lord. I just want to just close this with this, okay? kind of summarizing what I said. The Word of God gives a clear understanding, no confusion, no different interpretation about God's intention for us. God is a loving God. All good things come from Him. And we can put our trust in Him. We can trust that He is going to guide us into freedom, and He promised freedom to His children. So the only thing we have to do is to be His children. That means obedient to His direction. Going to the Word is the basic stuff. Going to the Word, you know the truth. Going to the Word, you know what to do. Going to the Word, you can have peace because you know what's coming and the way it's going. That's the way that's going to give us the freedom that we need. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2:21, you know, when the end time started was when the Holy Spirit came down. Okay. And at that time, prophecy by Joel and other things, you know, was mentioned by Peter as he was preaching. He's giving the direction that is needed there. He says, and it shall come to pass in Acts 2:21 that, you know, whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. This applies to before and after the rapture. See, the people that are going to call in the name of the Lord, that means, you know, they're going to call in what He has done, you know, what His function was, then they're going to be delivered, they're going to be saved. Okay? Praise the Lord. And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, says, the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greek, for the same Lord is overall rich, will call upon Him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So, and the word there means really delivered or whatever. Okay? So you don't need to wonder. You don't need to worry. What we need is to have the assurance that you are actually responding and open to the Spirit of God to guide you and to be obedient to His direction. That's all. Not much more. Okay. Commit your way to the Lord. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. And that's it. Whatever you find that there is old man raising up, crucify him. And take the new man and put it on. As simple as that. Okay? So let's pray together. Who wants to make that kind of a commitment that you're going to be doing that, because that's what makes the difference. If you want to make that commitment, just do it together. Okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have given the truth through the Word to us. I believe in Jesus' name, and I call on His name. And I open my heart to your word to direct me, to guide me, to bring us to the place in which I can hear you clearly, because my heart is open and willing and is obedient to your word and your direction. So, Lord, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm to follow your word. To obey your directions, Lord. And the Holy Spirit working in me, guiding me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord, that I look forward, Lord, to the blessed hope for those who are your children of the day in which we are going to join you. And I thank you in advance for that, trusting you, believing in you, and loving you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.